Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to Pacific Beer Chat. I'm Mike.
I'm Steve.
I'm Jordan. All right. I'm Carnell.
I'm Warren.
And we've got a special guest on with us tonight. Why don't you introduce yourself?
Okay, I'm also Jordan. I'm one of the guys behind Steel and Oak Brewing Company, and I have a podcast called Beer Life. And then we're recently starting a new project. Well, almost finished the new project in Victoria called Harold Street Brewworks. So those are the things in my life, and wrangling a couple kids at the same time. So it's been busy but fun.
Oh,
thanks
bet.
For having me on, by the way.
Yeah. Our pleasure. It's awesome to have you on.
Welcome.
Finally. We recorded in the brewery once there, but you weren't around or you were too busy.
Yep.
And so it's good to finally get you on.
Yeah, it's great to be on, man.
All right. Well, recently you did an episode talking about sort of the industry side of what everyone's dealing with COVID-19. We wanted to kind of talk about what the consumer can do to help out the breweries and, you know, any small business really, but because we deal with beer, we wanted to kind of touch on what we can all do to help keep you guys all open.
Yeah, well, I mean, I appreciate that. And I mean, in its simplest sense, it's spend money. but I think, I mean, I know everybody in this group and likely the people, you know, that are watching this and already do that. And so really for us, what we've been noticing and what's been really helpful is that it's reaching out to people that may not normally support local businesses, whether it's craft beer or at some of your favorite, you know, restaurants that may be doing to go or a local retail shop. I know with my own parents that they live in New West as well. And sometimes they'll be like, hey, who's struggling? Like, where can we spend our money? And they may not know. And we've even noticed at the brewery right now, a lot of people are coming in to buy beer to go that had never been to Steel and Oak before.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. And New West residents. Right. And they're like, yeah, we just heard through friends of ours that you guys are doing to go. And we know it's tough right now for small businesses. So we're trying to spread our money around a little bit better than we once did. And so I think it's just encouraging people to like, hey, we all know Amazon is easy.
Yeah.
Let's not even get started on that for a minute, but like I used to order books for my kids through Amazon, but like you can order books through Pulp Fiction in Vancouver. Right. And so I think it's just trying to like encourage people to change how they think of convenience when they're ordering things and know that like most small businesses have pivoted and that they can get out there and support them as well. So I think it's just important to educate people that may not necessarily follow, you know, Steel and Oak or craft breweries on Instagram or Facebook or whatever, to know that, you know, that they can support as well. Right. So, yeah,
that makes a, so Jordan, I'm a big fan of your podcast as well. I was joking.
Yeah,
thank
you. Me too.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
And, one of the things I've really enjoyed about it is that industry side and how you've let us in sort of on, you know, your day to day and what it takes to run a brewery. And one of the things that I found like, well, not, I shouldn't say shocking. It makes sense. But how distribution is seen for a brewery, specifically, I remember you talking with, Ben Coley, or is it Coley of Dagger Ad, and talking about how, like in a lot of ways, distributed beer is sort of looked at as, advertising because the margins can be so low because it, you know, creates an extra cost to get the beer from your brewery to anywhere else. You have to add in the packaging costs, you have to add in the fuel, you have to add in all that stuff to get it from your spot to somewhere else. So my question, I guess, is like we as consumers, obviously, not only do we want to drink your beer or drink our local beer and buy the local beer, but like how can we do it in a way that benefits you the most, right? Because I'm sure if distributed beer is, you know, a marginal gain for you guys, what would be the best way to get it for you and the best way to support local breweries?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, the best way for us financially is to come to the brewery itself and get it from us directly. Now, I want to be careful and I want to be not cautious, but I want to make sure everybody knows that, like, you know, liquor stores, our liquor store partners, outside of the government stores, obviously, are small businesses as well. And so, you know, I want to make sure that it's important that people still support their, I know there's only so much money to go around, and I know people are losing their jobs, and it's difficult out there. So you can't, it's hard to support everybody, but from from a brewery's point of view, I mean, we make the most money when somebody comes into the tasting room and buys the beer there to go. It cuts because we don't have to deliver it. We don't have to sell it at wholesale, which is obviously a cheaper price that we sell it to liquor stores at. And it also helps support that person who's working in the tasting room that day, have a job as well. And so for breweries right now, that's the best way to go about it, is to come to the taste room if you feel comfortable with it. Or a lot of us have pre-order online for curbside pickup options now, and to come by and buy it there. And you know, but if you're looking for something that's not beer, you know, God forbid, but definitely, like, support your local liquor store. Like, I think there's this misconception that liquor stores are, you know, owned by big companies, and some of them are owned by chains, sure, but we all know which ones are, but support the local LRS guys. The government guys will always be there. And as much as they sell a lot of beer, it's really the local liquor stores where you might have to pay a little bit more of a markup for beer. But you know, they need it. They need it as well. So.
Yeah. I barely ever walk into BC liquor stores unless there's a certain beer that I know they have there that a lot of the privates don't seem to have for some reason.
Yeah. It's difficult. Like, we talk about this all the time, and we talk about, you know, you talk about distribution and in the industry, like, you know, really to simplify it, it's delivering kegs is your least, that's the least profitable, and it's the most work.
Yeah.
Even just getting those taps and accounts, and especially as they rotate through and you bring a tap handle, you know, it's those, that's on this end. And then every time you buy a glass of beer in the taste room, it's this end, and everything else falls in the middle. And so, like, it's just the closer you can get it from the brewery, the better. And as far as government stores go, I mean, they're like, the government stores are, for a brewery of our size, we need the government stores to help move enough beer to other people that may not go to private LRS, right? There's still a huge population base that thinks that the BCL is the only kind of liquor store that exists.
And in some areas, they might be.
Well, if for sure, right? And I will say that the BCL is trying to get better at having cold storage, bringing in new products that they realize, like, you know, before you have to get a listed product to get in there, but now they buy on spec. If you get an eager manager, like the Park Royal BCL it's got an insane craft beer collection over there. So they're trying, right? But you know, they don't need the help right now.
Right.
You know, they're fine. The government liquor store right by across the street from Steel and Oak, there's a lineup around the block every day, right? Like, it's crazy, you know?
I haven't lined up for alcohol yet once, but I just make sure I stop into a brewery or whatever on my route, because I'm still working. I'm an essential service, yep. So yep. Do my best to support on the road.
I appreciate it. You can see the changes we've made where we've moved all our offices into the tasting room now so that we can kind of do it all at once, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I've got delivery a few times. I've actually had Four Winds mailed through Canada.
Nice, yeah.
Yeah.
A couple times, which was super convenient. It's like the next day. But I've also had Parkside delivered and some other local guys delivered. It's super easy. We're super convenient.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been spreading local love too, getting every brewery, every different beer I can that's released. So
It's great.
Yeah.
Is this a new legality? I can't remember. Were breweries able to directly ship to people before this, or is it kind of something that came out of all of
so this craziness? It was I believe it was May of last year.
Okay.
So it was something that came to fruition.
Oh, that's before right. This. Yeah.
Yeah. As long as you saw ID and the beer was actually ordered from within your manufacturing facility and you took it out through your tasting room, it was totally legal, but I don't think any of us ever hopped on it because it just seemed like a lot of work and we weren't sure how much, like, what, you know, people were coming to the tasting room anyways. So we're like, well, we'd rather them come to the tasting room and maybe have a glass of beer while they're there.
Actually, I think Twin Sales was doing it. I just realized that, but
yeah, and I know they were doing. I know for them, they were shipping beer BC wide.
Yeah.
And but I also know that in those days, it wasn't that like it wasn't that profitable. It didn't they didn't sell a ton of beer BC wide. Where they really found the good application for it was for pre-ordering beer for pickup. So when they would drop a new release, you could obviously pre-order it and then you wouldn't have to wait. You could just go pick it up. And so I think once this is all done or back to normal, I think at least for us, there will be opportunity for local New West delivery, you know, for people that can't get out or whatever. But I think the real game changer is actually going to be pre-order for pickup.
Yeah.
People just seem to dig that, right?
Maybe expand it to East Burnaby too. I don't know. Southeast Burnaby.
So you're going to hear it here first. We are coming to Burnaby.
Woo-hoo!
And we're going to go to East Van next week, I believe, if not the week after. And this is crazy, like how this new world is coming to fruition. Mm. But like the reason we haven't done it to this point is twofold. The first one is we weren't sure if we were going to hit that wage subsidy or not. And in order to hit the wage subsidy, you need to drop by 15% in March or 30% in April.
Yeah.
And March was only a half month where COVID came in the second half. And our first half of March was pretty good. And so we were actually worried that by increase, which sounds totally backwards, that by increasing sales to Burnaby and Vancouver, that we would lose the opportunity to help subsidize wages and bring people back to work.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was this whole thing where we have like I was talking to a couple different brewers about it and we're all kind of in the same position. And some of us are like, screw it, let's just go for it.
Yeah.
And others are like, well, I'm close. Maybe I should dial back. And we were close. So we just purposefully didn't. And then April was so busy, as far as like, you know, package product orders that were like, well, we're definitely not going to drop 30% in April. So we're just going to go for it now, going into May. And we're just going to, we've kind of made this decision that we're going to do what we think makes sense for the business long-term. So after this is over, do we think that maybe delivering, you know, once every 2 weeks or whatever to Burnaby, you know, maybe when we got some new releases coming out, we put together a mix flat and we're like, hey, you can't get out of the brewery that much, but like, we'll sell you a flat of all the stuff that we have and we'll give you a bit of a discount. We'll deliver it to you for free. Like, is that something that people want? So I think that's what we're doing now is we're going to say what might work after COVID is done and let's try it now and see how it does. Yeah. So at least we know, right?
No, definitely. I'm happy to hear though that you haven't lost enough sales that you get that help. Not that it doesn't, it wouldn't help you a lot to get that help from the government, but the fact that you've not lost enough business to get there, that is a good thing, I guess. Like, it's good to see.
Totally. Yeah, there's, and I think I was saying this on the first podcast and that I did this season with Ben and Adam from Superflux, but there's this misconception between revenue and profit, right?
Yeah. Oh, so, yeah, definitely that.
Yeah, and so, yes, our revenue hasn't dropped. Our revenue hasn't dropped yet to the point that that we'll get that wage subsidy, but our profitability has definitely dropped significantly because we've cut out all the tasting revenue, right? And profit, right? And so, in all honesty, we're still working through it because, you know, we've got an accountant that's trying to close March out and worry about, so like, it's all happening so fast that we haven't even figured it out entirely yet, right? So we'll see. Yeah. We'll see.
It's interesting, like you're saying, that revenue stays similar, but it seems like profitability is dropping. And I guess like one of the things we as consumers are all wondering is like, we love all these breweries. We love having this wide variety and spectrum of breweries. But as profitability drops, and I think, you know, you guys are perhaps well-placed because you got sort of a varied revenue streams. You guys have always done a bit of distro, a bit of restaurant, a bit of tasting room. And I don't expect you to answer in any specific way, but, you know, are we about to lose some of our favorite breweries, do you think?
I don't know. And that's an honest, I don't know. That's not a try and skirt the question. I don't know.
No, no.
Going into this, like even before COVID, I would say that we would probably lose 10 breweries this year for sure. We already lost three, like in the first 2 months or whatever it was, right?
Before anything hit the fan.
Yeah. And because it's coming, that's what happens in business. Right. But the crazy thing about this COVID is that, package product has gone through the roof. So if you were a brewery that might've been struggling to get people to your tasting room before, and that's probably where you were losing out, or you weren't doing a lot of wholesale, you have this weird revenue stream now of people coming to the brewery to order in cans, or people ordering cans for home delivery that may save you. I think people are in different situations depending on their brewery's makeup. Like you said, like we're Steelnook's lucky enough that we've got varied revenue streams, like where, you know, we're like 30%, 30%, 30%, like draft, packaged, tasting room. And so like, we'll be okay. Like we'll be here when this is over. We might not look the same. And unfortunately the truth is we probably will lose some people along the way. But we'll still be here. I'm confident of that. But if you were tasting room heavy and your name wasn't Brassneck, like it's going to be a tough time, right? Because you don't have any other opportunity except to pivot hard, deliver beer to people, hopefully in a small area. And hopefully you have a big enough following at that point in time that it's all good. Right. So I don't know, man, like probably we'll lose a couple. Yeah. I just think it's inevitable. There's going to be some that were probably so close to going under already that this is just it. And they're like, you know,
throwing the towel.
Yeah. The scary part too is who knows how long this is going to last, right? That's the real unknown.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I know we're like at Steel and Oak, we're kind of planning for a year, right? Like at least until people feel comfortable again about congregating in the tasting room. Right. And at least in the scale they were before.
Just got to put Doritos on all the tables.
Yeah.
I guess since we got a pause here, Steve, what beer are you drinking right now?
I am drinking, I just got this picked up curbside delivery today, Trading Post Brewing's Kolsch Beer for the Pier.
Nice. How is it?
It's really nice. It's a little hoppier than I think most Kolsches would be. It's got a little more bitter bite, a lot of herbaceousness, but it's got a really nice malts to it that I'm quite enjoying.
Nice. How about you, Carnell?
Yeah, I'm on the Four Winds train hard all of a sudden. I always knew, obviously, that Four Winds kills it, choo-choo. But I recently grabbed one of their Pilsner packs, and I had to go back like a week later and grab another. And some of those. Yeah,
and we're going to do that episode coming up, too.
But yeah, at this moment, I'm drinking Velo, which is unreal. It's one of the best hazy pale ales I've had. I don't think hazy lends itself well to a pale ale generally because it's such a big beer. But
that juice, man.
This is one of the hazy pale ales that I think really hits the nail on the head.
Nice. What about you, R. Jordan?
R. Jordan. I got the Vibrant Things on. New Jordan was on, so I figured I'd drink some Steel Local chat.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no worries, brother.
What about you, Warren?
You said local, so I've got some homebrew. This is table nice. Saison that I made about, I don't know, a month ago.
Supporting your local homebrew shop, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Your own business, probably.
Yeah, all the ingredients came from Fraser Mills.
There we go.
The homebrew side, though, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what about you, Jordan Foss? What are you drinking there?
I'm actually drinking one of our own beer.
Twinsies.
Yeah, nice. Which is funny because generally I actually drink other people's beer at home because there's lots of benefits, but one of the benefits of this industry is when people pop by, they generally drop off beer. And I had Darren Hollett from House of Funk on recorded my podcast this morning, which will be released on Friday. And he brought a bunch of rad stuff. And I can't even remember the name now. I should have brought it out, but it's a sour IPA. Which is a style that I'm not totally there on, but it was more, it was like a Kvike yeast.
Oh, that nice.
He was saying they only it was their house Kvike that had some sort of house lacto in it as well. So it was just like, it wasn't even, I wouldn't even call it tart. It was just like refreshing enough on the finish. And it had, it was using some Belma hops, which are great. And so it was super, super aromatic. It was delicious. And then he also brought over a barrel-aged lager that didn't even have a label on it. So I hope I didn't spoil that. But it was awesome. And but the best part was he brought over fresh baked bread. And yeah, and it was lights out great. So so yeah, generally I try and raid the manager's fridge at Steel and Oak and bring some stuff home. So but tonight I was like, I'm gonna be on something. I should pump my own tires,
definitely,
right?
Yeah.
Since we're both drinking the double IPA, the We Love You. This is a beer that's raising some money for a group, right? Can you maybe talk about that? Because again, it's all about this COVID-19 thing, right?
For sure. Yeah. So we're raising money for the BC Hospitality Foundation, which is a great organization that supports workers in the restaurant and bar industry, you know, that may be out of work, or in even pre-COVID times that, you know, might have, you know, suffered an injury and can't, you know, wait tables or attend bar. And so it's a nice industry that supports the service industry, which is a tough gig. And I think one of the things that I've talked about with numerous people is that the people that spend the most amount of money at restaurants are restaurant workers. And probably. So, you know, if we want to kickstart this whole thing again and be able to, you know, go out to, you know, places like the McKenzie Room or other like rad joints that, you know, we used to love going to, we need to support the service industry so that they can get back out there too. So it was like, it was interesting because the beer itself, we knew we wanted to make this double IPA. The guy that makes all our IPAs at Steel and Oak, his name's Brian, we call him Chef. He wanted to make this beer for a while. It's got Belma and Sabro in it, and he wanted to, you know, play with those hops because they're kind of in vogue right now. And
the cheater and hops, they're awesome.
Yeah. And so we made this double IPA, but if anybody that might have listened to my podcast before and I've gone through like the process, it's like when you make a beer, you actually have to like do all the legwork, registration, label design, all of that stuff well before you even can get tasting notes or of the beer. So you're kind of almost not even thinking about it, but you have to.
Yeah.
So we made this double IPA and then we made it and then closed the tasting room the same day. And I was like, well, can we swear on this thing?
Yes. Fuck yeah.
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 Yeah. So fuck So I was like, oh fuck. Like, what are we going to do? And so we had this double IPA in tank and I'm like, you know what? I'm like, we're going to call it We Love You. We're going to put a heart on the can. And I'm sure 4 weeks from now, I'm going to need it for something.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's what I did. I just called a designer. And normally I don't give Sammy or designer too much direction. And I'm like, I want a heart on the can and nothing else. And it just has a heart and has double IPA underneath it. And I'll figure out a use for it. And so then once things started to settle, I'm like, okay, well, who needs help? How can we? Normally I try to support, help local charities in New Westminster, but the BC Hospitality Foundation helps everybody in BC. And we're just trying to think of people that we love, that we've worked with for years that are now really hurting. And so we reached out and they've been a great organization to work with. And the beer sales have been awesome. We purposefully kept it in the tasting room so that we could make the most amount of money on it possible. So that we could donate the most amount of money possible.
Yeah.
So I want to, you know, sometimes people don't understand and they get upset of like, why didn't we send this to the island or the interior? And a lot of times they're like, it's because you're trying to make the most amount of money. And you're right. We are trying to make the most amount of money. And it's so that we can stay afloat and help other people out too sometimes. So, but it's been good. We'll be out by this weekend, which is crazy. Like it'll be 2 weeks and it'll be gone, which is,
oh, shit.
Which is
wow.
I need to buy more.
Fast. Damn.
Yeah. Which is very fast for us. So it's great.
I guess find just, some then. It'd be good to pivot then on, I've noticed that the laws have changed only temporarily. I think they said for now till July that restaurants can sell alcohol to go through their, any kind of delivery service, including it sounds like beer on tap. Like they can sell it in a mason jar or something and deliver it. Are are you guys able to still sell kegs to these bars, or is it just basically trying to drain those kegs they've got in stock right now?
It's the latter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, everything in my body tells me that, like, I mean, you guys know, you know what's up. Like,
yeah.
It's like the one time where I'm just like, fuck, just buy the beer from them. Like, just buy it. And like these dudes spent all this money on a keg that they drained a couple glasses of. I can't legally buy that back from them.
Yeah.
It's just like, I was having this conversation with Ben because nobody dislikes growler fills that does them more than Ben. Holy
yeah, oh yeah.
And
he wasn't going to do them, was he?
No. And we're just like, as much as I don't want our beer going in the mason jar, at this point,
right?
Yeah. At this point, we have. If you're buying beer in a mason jar, you either don't know enough that you're probably still going to like it, or you know what's up and you're just going to be like, it's okay. We get it. We're trying to support our local restaurant.
Yeah.
Where the problem is and what needs to be fixed is that right now, if I sell a can of beer to a restaurant, I have to sell it to them at a markup price that I don't get to keep and that the government just takes it. Right.
What?
So like so we have to sell packaged product. That's why if you go to a restaurant and you see packaged product on the menu, it's always way more expensive. You're like, that seems really expensive.
Yeah.
And it is, because the government marks it up. And so if I sell a beer to the BCL and it's $10.25 for a four pack or whatever, that same four pack, if I sell it to the Alibi Room to sell in a can, it's $12.79. So, and nobody sees that. The government sees that. And so the problem that this has exposed is that all of these restaurants are desperately trying to make money, and they're trying to do the nice thing and buy beer from local guys like us, but then they have to sell it at like $24 a four pack just to make enough money that it makes sense.
Yeah.
And so what needs to happen after this, and I know there's going to be a few guys that are going to fight for it, and hopefully the guild will get behind it, is that we need to eliminate hospitality pricing for restaurants and pubs. Gone are the days where they should be expected to just sell draft beer. Don't get me wrong, everybody likes draft beer, but like, you're not going to get a rad 500 mil on draft likely.
No.
And so if people want that, they should be able to get it at a price that's not so insane that nobody makes money off of it. Not me, not the restaurant, and the customer is like the customer is then thinking, well, A, either the restaurant's a bunch of jerks because they're marking this thing up, or who does Steel and Oak think they are selling a beer at this insane price, right? And it's not the case. So I hope that when this is over, that they'll take a good look at hospitality pricing and where that extra markup goes, and hopefully just eliminate it so that our restaurant guys can get back up and going again pretty easily, right? You know?
Fingers crossed, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's I mean, I think that's every time I get a little bit upset about, you know, the stuff that's going on and how, you know, we're likely to see some breweries go down, and that may in fact be more than would have gone down had there not been a bug. What kind of brings me back is hopefully a lot of change can come out of this. But I mean, I'm hopeful that you know, some projects that are pretty out there and pretty strange that might never have happened might get to happen now, right? If a couple breweries go down and there's a bunch of sets of old brew houses out there, bring down the price, or if people can find commercial space in Vancouver all of a sudden at a reasonable price. You know, my wife and I would go down to Bellingham all the time, and we went to this cool coffee shop that was in this huge old heritage building. And we were just sitting there like laughing at our cheap coffee and thinking this could never, ever, ever happen in Vancouver because it would just be too expensive. But I'm really hopeful that as much damage as COVID does, you know, it is a little bit of a, you know, Phoenix effect where we can have some really, really cool stuff out of it. Hopefully some really cool projects result of this.
Yeah. If I was in commercial property, I'd be trying to sell everything right now. Like, you know, businesses are going to go under whether they're breweries or not, and there's going to be commercial property available, and it's going to be cheaper.
Yeah.
So you might be right. Like, there might be some, and I mean, maybe home prices come down too. Like, I, you know, my wife and I were fortunate enough that when when we first got married, we bought this condo in Port Moody, right by Brewers Row, although Brewers Row wasn't there yet. And the condo prices went through the roof. And so we sold it and bought a small little house that was a stretch for us in New West and to move back to kind of where we were from. And then it was 2010 and the market took off. And if it wasn't for the market taking off, we never would have had Steel and Oak, because I never would have had anything to leverage to try and get it open.
Yeah, for sure.
But looking at it now, like my wife and I are both 37 and we've got a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old, and there are no other kids on my street. And because who the hell can afford to live in a what's now like a $1.2 million house that's definitely not worth $1.2 million.
Yeah.
No way. And like, you know, it's insane, right? And so as much as, don't get me wrong, I don't want my property value to drop because but like, then you got to weigh that with this, like the social aspect of it. Right. And like, you know, how are we going to figure this all out if people can't afford to live, right? Yeah. Like I got brewers that I feel like I pay a decent wage to that live with like 6 or 7 roommates, right? Like it's as much as this, and I say this every time I bring it up, like people are dying. And so we can't, you know, it's an awful thing, but there is going to be a silver lining, right? And probably a couple, and it's a good reset. It makes us all, I think, at least for me, take a pause and slow down a bit.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we don't have anything to do anymore at night, right? and there's something about that that's kind of liberating, you know?
I still seem to have a lot to do at night, but I also run 2 podcasts, so.
You're running Zoom calls with 6 people, man. Yeah.
Well, Steve's actually running the call, so it's okay.
Well, that's the easy part. Yeah. No, it's keeping the 3-year-old out of the background. That's the hard part.
This is the most exciting thing I will do this week. I honestly, yeah, that's no bullshit, man.
I believe it. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, yeah, I know. From a personal angle, we've had to rethink what our opening means. Right now, it's going to be all about packaged product, where again we don't have the margin. But that lounge is just going to have to wait until we're allowed to have people gather again. Right?
Yeah. 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 Have you found, Warren, that the LCRB has been responsive with at least trying to get do your inspections and be communicative with you of what's going on?
Yeah. So getting like the SKUs for the first beers and stuff have gone pretty smoothly. Whereas, you know, before all this, maybe they weren't as responsive or as quick to act.
Yeah.
That's good. How busy is the homebrew shop been there at Fraser Mills then so far?
Believe it or not, business has picked up in the last month or 6 weeks.
People need alcohol.
Not just that, but people are bored, right? Yeah. It's a hobby, right?
It's like the sourdough boom.
You can't get baking flour and brewing. Yeast,
We had to go out of our way to find yeast to bake bread because it's all sold out.
Yeah, everywhere in Pitt Meadows too.
Thankfully, we know a chocolatier that also does baking, and she gave us yeast.
Oh, right, yes.
So that's what people are doing. People are staying home. They're cooking and cooking from scratch. And part of that is making your own beer from scratch, right? If you want to do something like that and you don't have the time, or you want to, you know, do something that doesn't involve as much skill, then pick up some apple juice and make some cider, right?
Yeah. I think that's the wonderful thing about this is that, like, it's really taught people how to be a little more self-sufficient on, you know, and I'm guilty of it too. The amount of money which is crazy to say this because there's two different things happening where I want to spend money and support local because I know the businesses survive, but Jordan, the guy that's got an insane mortgage now and all of like needs to save money and just like the change in, we used to order in a few times a week, right? My wife and I both come home late from work. The kids are there. We're like, we got to feed everybody. What do we do? And both boys eat enough. So now sushi for 2 is sushi for 4. And this whole thing is like we're cooking every night and we're cooking good stuff. And it's, I thought for sure that like, I would gain a ton of weight from this thing just being home, but like I've just been eating so much better that it hasn't been the case. And so I think, like, you know, it's the bread. Like, I made more bread in the last 2 weeks than I've made in the last like 7 years, right? Like, it's it's wild, man.
I've caught all that weight you thought you were going to catch because I'm drinking more beer and I'm eating more because I'm bored. I'm eating better, don't get me wrong, but it's still just more.
No, my problem was that I'd always like eat poorly and have a beer or two at the brewery.
Yeah.
But now because we've had to change our life a bit, where like my wife is now working from home, and so I'll take care of the kids from when they wake up in the morning till about noon. Well, she works, and then we'll switch, and I'll go to the brewery, and she'll take the kids. So we've kind of cut out that opportunity for fun, I guess, is really what it comes to, you know?
I think a lot of things have cut out that opportunity for fun right now, but...
So, anyways, oh, that's wild. Yeah.
It definitely was a big pivot, suddenly.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I remember I was sitting at the bar at Steel and Oak just before this happened, and then suddenly it was like, oh shit, I can't go sit at the bar at Steel and Oak.
No, we missed you there bringing in your heavy metal vinyl to play, man.
I'll bring it back in as soon as this is over if you want.
This is the first episode we've done since the whole self-isolation thing sort of began.
I did one episode me and why am I going blank here? Cut this out. Me and Scott from Mad Lap Distilling. But other than this is it. Because we recorded a batch of them quite a while back, like just before it really took off. So it's our first time being able to sit down together even,
But it'll be interesting though. Like, you know, we're talking about like the, you know, all of our lives are changing significantly. And it's you know, I'm lucky enough to continue work, but it's funny, one of the things I keep thinking of, like, oh no, I got to catch my spending here. I'm going to run out of money. Like, I got to stop eating out at local places so much. And then I'm like, no, I'm not spending money anywhere else. Like,
exactly.
I'm going to continue eating out at local places. But like, one of the things that I think is going to be difficult in the long run, I hope it's not, I hope it doesn't change things too much, is like, one of the things that I think draws people so much to craft beer, and what has made craft beer so big in Vancouver, is the tasting room. Mm-hmm. Is being able to go sit in a room with people who, you know, are enjoying the same thing as you, learning something from the bartender or the server who happens to be there, like meeting people like Jordan Foss in the tasting room who opened the place knowing that your dollar is going there.
Yeah, or sit at the big long table, you know, with a bunch of randos.
And like, you know, and I always make the joke when like you're at Brewer's Row, like you see all these like, you know, newly childed,
new parents, new parents.
Yeah. And it's hilarious in the summertime because they'll be like, they'll go in for lunch with their kids and they'll hand them the iPad. And then their friends will come in like, well, we were just going to have one, but we'll have two. And they're on their second. And they're like, we should get going. And then they see another friend coming like, we can still walk home. And they'll send their kids across the street to get ice cream. And that's awesome. Like, that's amazing. That's the amazing part about craft beer. And I think you see it in like just about any neighborhood brewery in Vancouver. And Vancouver's a city that's, you know, really disconnected socially from each other. So it's one of the few bright spots. So if this continues long term, and you know, when it does come back, we're limited in what we can do. Like, I think, you know, I can imagine people literally, you know, waiting outside the breweries, like lining up just to go in and sort of feel that again, that sort of, you know, positive social interaction that you can, you know, in a lot of ways you can only get at a brewery. Like it really is the neighborhood pub in England in the early 1900s feel.
Like, cheers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's warm.
I'm always concerned when people know my name in stores. That always creeps me out. I go somewhere else. But I remember going to SFU. There's three of the same coffee shops, and I always used to try and go to different ones each day so nobody would get to know my name. So I thought that was weird. Anyways, that's just me being a little creepy.
I found it weird when it started to bleed into my work. and I'd be on a job site, and the guys would be like, "Hey, you're that guy that writes and talks about beer," and I'm like, "Oh crap, it's it bled into my real life." I own it now.
But. Yeah. Long story short, like I'm really, I hope we can get that back. I wonder if we're going to get people literally, you know, lining up to be one of the 10 people allowed into what used to be a 50 person tasting room.
I will.
And I wonder, not to put Jordan on the spot, but I wonder like what breweries are planning to sort of fill that void for people. I know you guys talked with Ben on your podcast about, and Ben was saying he just wanted to bring joy. That was his job now, is to bring joy. And he was going to do that by doing cool beers and stuff. And I thought, like, to me as a consumer, I was like, yes,
yeah,
do that. Like, give me something to get excited about. Give me something to message my buddy about. But, yeah, not that I have a defined question, but just a lot of thoughts.
No, yeah, it's. I mean, we're going to try and, now that Ben mentioned it, we're going to try and do the same thing. So, no, he. it's funny, like, at the beginning of this, we're like, you don't know what to do. So we're like, well, let's just stop production. Let's just make... or like make sure we have the flagships that people reorder. Cause you're thinking more about wholesale at that point in time. You're like, let's just make sure we have enough to cover this, this, and this, but we're definitely going to get back to, well, and it's funny cause we'd already kind of planned that we wanted, when we launched Shiny Things, our IPA, I mean, we were doing an IPA every month before that, leading up to it. And we've always wanted to get back to that, but it's this weird thing where you're trying to be like, well, we'd like Shiny Things to take hold, yeah, so that we can take that and then not have to worry about it. Be like, this is it. If you want an IPA, and we don't have to stress about having one on tap all the time because it's here, and then get back to more to experimenting a bit more. So that was always the plan. And so that's what we're going to do in the short term. We were going to try and do some fruited sours and stuff throughout the summer and just bring some other things back. But like, the fruit cost from the US right now, yeah, is insane. So we're definitely gonna have to try and source some local stuff, which is great. You know, we'd like to do that.
Okanagan or something.
Exactly.
Buy some negative value oil to offset
the cost. Yeah. So I mean, we're definitely gonna try and bring the heat as much as we can this summer to make sure that people have something to get excited about, and because they still are coming to the tasting room, we launched something new. Like, it's still kind of business as usual in that sense. And it gives us something to talk about. And so, yeah, we'll definitely do that. And as far as the tasting room thing goes, like, I mean, I agree that I mean, I hope people are lined up excited to come in. But if you're one of the 10 people to get into Steel and Oak, and there's 10 people in Steel and Oak, it's going to feel weird. And like, are you going to be like, I didn't like that?
Oh, I've been there when it was just me and like one other person in the bartender. Yeah. I'm okay with it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I hope that's, you know, I still think it'll be until we get a till we get a vaccine, until people are actually comfortable. But I know for us at Steel and Oak, what we're going to do is use this as an opportunity to do the things that we wanted to do that we couldn't do when the tasting room was open. So we're going to try and go through the process of adding another washroom so that we can eventually hopefully increase our occupancy and make the tasting room a bit bigger. Hopefully we're going to talk to the city about letting us possibly do a parklet patio out front. Things that we always wanted to do that seemed like they wouldn't, that somebody would say no, and then we didn't have time. And now we're like, well, if like, let's say for instance, they allow some people to come back in the summer, mm-hmm, but then fall comes and we're back to where we were now, you know, because it's cold and flu season and there's no vaccine yet. Like, we've got some time. This is the first time where we have some time, yeah, to like, be like, it's okay that no one's here, because we can, you know, eventually they will be, and it's like a hard stop, right? And so I think a lot of the breweries that at least are, I mean, there's some breweries that are just trying to find a way to survive at this point in time that may have not had, you know, any sort of, you know, either the staff to run a home delivery or a wholesale business or whatever. But I think, you know, some of us are thinking now, like, well, this is the chance that we have to rethink what our business looks like. And on the other side, like you said, like, people are going to be so excited to come back to being social. So when that happens, let's give them something that's worth it.
Right? Yeah.
And what does that look like? Right. So I think that's, you know, in the short term, we're just going to try and put out bangers that people want to drink. And like, and we're just going to give them what they want, right? There's always this like fight internally for what like we want to make. And like I was talking to Darren this morning, and it's on the podcast, so I can say it, but like he's going to do House of Lager and just do lager beers out of a different spot, right? And which is rad because like we all just drink lager most of the time, right? And that's what we want to drink. But like but the reality of it is like people still want hazy fucking IPA, so let's do it. Let's just give them what our job is, to make you guys and everybody else happy. And that's like Ben said, that's what we want to do. So let's do something, right? Even Ben's making a lager, right?
Weird.
And it's good. It's in the pills pack.
You know what? I was so pissed off about that. I couldn't believe that Brent did invite us, and I texted him. And he's like, I knew this was coming. I knew this was coming. And then he
just doesn't like you as much now.
He called me, and I was on another call, so I didn't answer him. And then he thought I was really upset with him. And he's like, it's because we just did that collab at your guys' place, and I knew that was coming out, and I didn't want to double up. And I was like, dude, come on, man. You tell me that Simple Things is your favorite go-to beer all the time, and you didn't invite us to your lager collab? Come on, man. And
you'll be in the sequel.
Oh man, funny. I actually haven't tried the pack yet. I need to try it.
It's fantastic.
I'm sure it is.
Three or four of them. It's great.
Yeah, all those breweries are lights out good, and like it just.
And they're all distinctively different. Like none of them taste the same. It's really a nice combination pack.
Yeah. I love that Four Winds is like, I mean, they're at a point where like they've got the guts to just be like, this is what we fucking want to do. And if you guys like it, great. And if you don't, hey, we're Four Winds, so what the fuck?
Yeah.
And so like the fact that they're just now like, well, Kylo and Brent just want to drink lager, so let's just make lager beers, right? Like it's just it's cool. I like that, right? Like we all got into this because we wanted to make beers that we wanted to drink. And then when the public tells you that they might not want to drink that, you're like, oh, well, I guess it's time to do some soul searching on like what are we really about, right? And then it's nice that they've come full circle and they're like, you know, well, there's something for everybody. So now we're just going to make lagers forever, right? So
I'm just happy they don't only make lagers.
Yeah.
When I ordered the Pils pack, I ordered a 4-pack of the Hooft Gold along with it.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. That's delicious, that beer.
Oh, it's got that really nice, nutty, malty. Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah. It's so good. It's so good. Yeah.
We just won't call them lagers. We'll just call them Crispy Boys.
And oh, God. No, we won't.
And people will like them.
Yeah, people will like them. I can't believe that's not a beer name. But anyway,
that just makes me the old man yelling at a wall. I hate that Crispy Boy name.
Get Mike off my lawn.
Mike just wants Cask Ale, right?
No, not really a big fan of Cask Ale that much. Just give me lots of IPAs and then barley wines. And
hey, that's what we're gonna do, man. We're gonna make you happy. That's our job.
Summer barley wine. It's a new thing.
Yeah.
I almost picked up a Thor's hammer today. I thought about it.
Oh, really?
I ran into Central City quickly today. I actually picked up a 4-pack of their Super Solar IPA.
Oh, yeah. Sweet.
With tax, the 4-pack of tall cans was like $10.60. Like, how the hell are they pricing it like that? Like, I don't understand. But I mean, they've got clearance. A couple. Their scale is so big now, right? I don't know what, like, they're selling volume.
It's a different business model, right?
Oh, it is. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I just I wasn't aiming for that, but I just looked up and I'm like, "Excuse me, that I'll take a 4-pack of that."
Yeah. Speaking of the Red Racer in Central City, that's one thing I've noticed they've been doing over the last few weeks. How they're kind of dealing with this COVID-19 situation. On Thursdays, I think it's at 4:00. Gary Lohin does a broadcast from 4 to 4:30, I believe, where he's answering questions to the brewmaster and that kind of thing. So I think that's another way that we're seeing some of the local breweries deal with this situation, is by trying to engage the customers through social media better and try to keep the conversation going.
It's interesting you say that. Like, I've always thought breweries have done a really good job of utilizing social media, but you know, given that everything's changed and our basically we have a longer attention span, right? Like we used to get this all in like pictures or 10-second clips on our social media, but it's, you know, given us time for pause. And like another new West brewery that I think has done a really good job of this is
these guys.
Yeah, fell on my keys. ABC has been killing it with their sort of outreach. Nice. And it's a brewery that, like, I think sort of is not on everyone's radar just yet. And I think if it's not on your radar, you're stupid.
It's mostly because their location is bizarre.
Oh, it is odd. That location's because hard. Of Vancouver's commercial, you know, pricing, you know, to get a spot. But in any case, like, they're doing a killer job. They're running a week over week or every week thing where they're doing a pub trivia. And it's, you know, people are looking for that sort of thing right now. So it's great when breweries can pull off that sort of stuff. I know I've gotten engaged in a couple of them. And it really sort of, it's something to look forward to. It's a really nice way of doing things.
Yeah. And it's cool to see that come back because, like, I know, so there's two things that happen when you do one of these things, right? Like in the early days, like obviously I ran all the social media, right? Like when we were starting, it was just Jamie and I and our brewer Pete. And so like I did it all and I still do it all. But I'm one of the very few brewery owners that has been around for this, like for 6 years now, that still runs our social media account.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And, but I also believe that I like to have a finger on the pulse of what people are actually thinking. It's a great way to engage. I like it. I like talking to people. And as you guys can tell,
yeah.
And, but I will say that and you can see the difference, I think. And like I sometimes I feel like I do have a photographer that takes professional photos when a new beer comes out. And sometimes I feel like it's almost too pro, right? Like there's something kind of nice about our industry that's like it's authentic, right? And that's the point. The one thing I've always struggled with, at least in the last couple of years, is that we've been so busy that I haven't had the time to figure out I've always thought about it, but never had the time to actually execute engaging better, right? With Instagram Live, with all those new things that came out, right? It's part of the reason of the podcast and everything like that. And originally, like the podcast only happened because I had Kevin was working for me at the time, and so that he could manage it, and then I would just come in, talk, and then go, and it would be dealt with. But now with this new reality, is like I have time, and so it's great. And so it's like all those things that I wanted to do and how I actually wanted to engage with people and talk to people, I'm actually going to be able to start doing. So I'm definitely going to play around with, you know, Instagram Live a bit more. This is and definitely try and find ways to like that Steel and Oak can do a better job of just like talking to people because we have time. And the ABC guys, like I did an Instagram Live with Alex Jobson, one of the co-owners, on Monday. And it was great. And I've known Alex for years. It's like, he's not working for ABC. He's not getting paid. He just does it because he loves it. Right. And so it's like, it's almost great when it's not your actual job. You're just doing it because it's fun. So, they've got the time right now and to do this like cool thing and they've done a great job of it. I give them kudos. I wish they weren't behind two fucking trains though. You know,
on a side of a building with no frontage, and
it's tough, man. It's tough. Like I think those guys are probably doing really well right now just because like because of this home delivery thing. Like I think they're the prime candidate for what this should be after COVID for home delivery type business, right?
Yeah.
It'll just be a half an hour late because I'll have to sit behind a train every time.
Yeah, I had no doubt. Yeah, I wish I had the time because I'm actually working, because I work on construction sites, and I'm working more now than I was before this all happened because construction's just trying to keep going. So I've been working like 10 hours a week overtime.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I have less time for all the social media stuff right now, which has been tough, but I mean, hey, I'm working, so whatever, right? Can't complain.
Do you guys think there's lactose in this?
I've never had it. I have no idea.
Ordered the Bella Birra because I like that beer a whole bunch.
I think I might go there tomorrow to pick some of that up if it's still available.
You should.
I think there is lactose in it.
Is there? They should put that on the label. Sorry, another beer company. Ignore us.
I thought that was the legality thing. Beer was like the only thing that doesn't have to have like the nutritional facts on it.
You don't have to do shit. It's crazy. It's like we do. It's Steel and Oak. And just because like I've had a few things where like people have been like, I'm allergic to this and I drank your beer and I break it out in hives. And I'd be like, it's not in there, but that's concerning anyways. And then they like messaged back. Oh no, it's just my cat. I'm like, oh good. Thank goodness.
You're allergic to cats that badly and you still have a cat. Oh God.
But one of the things that was coming down was that we were going to have to start listing, I think like nutritional information, contains gluten, all that stuff was coming down from the feds. And I haven't heard a thing about it because obviously there's other stuff going on, but that was going to be a thing. I think was in the next couple of years, we were going to have to change all the labeling over to just say what's in the can.
Yeah.
We always list ingredients. We list that it's vegan friendly, cause that's important to me. So we've always kind of done that just cause I like to know what's in the beer. And I also think on the opposite side, I like it when people know that there's only four ingredients in it.
Yeah.
Right. Like it's, you know, when you're like, oh, water, barley, hops, yeast. And you're like, and it tastes like this. That's incredible that you could do that. Right. And,
although I don't discriminate people putting all kinds of ingredients in as long as it tastes good, but yeah.
Hey Mike, we're in a whole new world, man. Put whatever you want in there, dude. It's man, you can put anything in a beer.
I always appreciate when I see the ingredients list. I don't need a lot of information, but I like knowing what's in the beer.
Oh God, yeah.
And particularly my wife can't have wheat, so, and wheat's become really popular in beer. So it's really nice when I can look, oh, just barley. Great. We can share this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. One thing I never want to see on a can of beer is the calorie count. Please never. I'm going to put a sticker over that shit.
What if it's a really low calorie count,
Mike? That's fine, as long as it's low. But
low cal.
All my favorite beers.
It's only 100 calories for the can?
Yeah, but what's a barley wine, right? I don't want to know.
You don't want to know that.
No, I don't. Or this wonderful double IPA. I do not want to know.
We get asked that more often now than we ever have before, like what our lowest calorie beer is and what's the calorie count. And we don't know. Like, I don't know what the calorie, like, we don't actually know what the calorie count is.
Right? I would guess it's going to be your simple things, but.
It is. Yeah. That's what, but we're like, if you're asking us what, like, if you're asking what the lowest calorie beer we have is, just don't drink it.
Yeah.
Don't, like, you're asking the wrong questions right now.
Yeah. I think you get one of those hard seltzers then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or one of those gin drinks or something, because that's not beer. But, I mean,
it's crazy, though. That market's like, I bet you that prime time that Bridge does, I bet you that's probably, I mean, I guarantee you that's their best-selling product right now.
Could be.
Right?
Like, it's not bad.
Yeah, I liked it, too, actually. Like, if I was, when I drank it, I was thinking about, like, if I was on a golf course and I had to play, like, 18, like, this is perfect, right? And, it's not in Steel and Oak's plan, that's for sure. Yeah.
I don't think it suffers as a beer because it's low in calories and everything. It's a well-made beer. It's enjoyable. I don't reach out for it that often because it's not the beer I'm looking for, but it doesn't suffer. There's some beers that suffer to try to get that.
Yeah. We always get people to ask, like, are you guys going to do any non-alcoholic beers? And I'm always just like, well, wouldn't that defeat the purpose of what we're trying to achieve? And
like carrot cake.
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, I don't know, man. Like, yeah.
Red Racer's got this street legal stuff, but that, from what I understand, it took some very expensive equipment.
$1 million. That.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
So it's not something that a craft brewery is going to be doing anytime soon.
There's street legal IPA that's 0.5% alcohol, tastes like their ISA.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It's not bad. But it's
most other de-alkalized beers, they like boil the alcohol off, and then the beer gets cooked, and it's just terrible, right?
They use an extraction process that takes hours. Yeah.
Reverse osmosis.
There we go.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. Like, I always thought I was a young person. turns out I'm not anymore. When I started this podcast, I was young.
You're still young compared to most of us.
It's funny. I had my birthday like earlier this month, and I turned 31. And my wife was like, "What do you want to do for your birthday?" And I was like,
"This guy, man."
I stopped because I honestly, like, in my head, like, it was such a big build up to turning 30. I just thought it ended. Like, that was it. I was like, that crap, I get older from there.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Long story short, I'm told, like, the new kids, the kids who are getting, like, becoming drinking age, like, their interests are different, right? Like, they
oh, for sure.
Way more health conscious. Like, they don't. They're into going to the places. Like, when I turned 19, we went to clubs and we went to bars and we went out late. And what I've been told more recently is, you know, they're, and I'm starting to see this too, like, they're more interested in going to, like, places where you can sit down and have a conversation with someone. Like, I like to go to now.
Like Zoom?
Before all this, where you could sit down and chat with someone, right? You could chat with friends that had a cool vibe that wasn't like a place that was blasting your ears out dancing. And so, I mean, what falls into place with that is are things like seltzers and locales, because at the end of the day, like, they're looking for something a little more health conscious that doesn't, you know, blow out their brains in terms of the next morning. And honestly, like, it's expensive. Kids have even less money than, like, we did 10 years ago in their back pocket.
Yeah, well, we're lucky because, you know, we're old enough, we've been working long enough that usually we make a little more money than they do, some of us.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when I see Evil Twin coming out with, like, hard, well, they call it hard water. like, I mean, you know that it's like, it's a thing, yeah. Right? Like, oh, and yeah. I mean, we don't have the ability to do the same kind of stuff that quickly and easily in BC. But, like, I'll admit, even when, like, when Evil Twin's like, oh yeah, we've got this hard water, it's this marshmallow, whatever. I'm like, if I was at Evil Twin and they had that, I would 100% try it, because it just seems crazy interesting to me, right?
It'd be in my flight.
And maybe I'd hate it, and or even worse, maybe I'd love it.
Yeah.
Right? And but I'm like, if Evil Twin can do this and still be this cool brewery, like, you know, we're already almost halfway there, guys. Like, I mean, yeah. I always look at, like, and I mean, and I on BC Ale Trail, fucking Mike called me a vet, which I was almost offended by, and I'm definitely not. Like, it's not like Gary or Ian Hill's on the program.
Yeah.
Like, anyways, but, like, even from when we started, like, I remember, like, when we came out with Smoked Hefeweizen, and people were like, what the fuck? Boom. And now it's like, yeah, okay, man, it's smoked malt in a wheat beer. Like, get over it.
Good
right?
for you.
It changes so fast, right? And so it's like, well, what? Adam Henderson made this comment to me. This was maybe a year ago now. It's like, kids that I've, like, that I see coming to Strath or whatever, they don't want beer that tastes like beer. That's not what they want, right? they want juice, right, with alcohol in it, right? And yeah. And
they want pastry stouts.
They're tasty.
Yeah.
Beers made with breakfast cereal. Yeah. Potato chips.
Yeah, they want stuff that's going to re-ferment in the can and explode in their face.
Like, keep it cold. Keep it cold.
Danger element.
Yeah. It's wild, man. And so, like, I don't know. It's tough. Like, people are always talking about, like, what can craft breweries innovate and what, like.
Gonna have to.
I guess so, right?
And, actually, the new trend I'm seeing right now is wine and beer mixed, or grape and malt for fermentations mixed.
Mm-hmm. And for a while there, the people were trying to do Braggots, which is the mead and beer mix, right?
Yeah. We've done, like, I mean, we've got a winery behind us, so we've definitely played around with a few things. Some no one's seen because it didn't turn out. but some of it's been all right. We did a beer with Two Crows, and we used wine yeast to ferment, and it actually had more of a Belgian type, you know. It was super estery. It was good, but it wasn't what we thought it was going to turn out like. I like the idea of using like grape must and stuff like that in beer, you know. And I know Fieldhouse goes pretty hard in the paint on like wine beer hybrids. Yeah, you know what? It's the toughest thing I think we wrestle with, I think most people do, is like innovation versus gimmick. And then what are you? You know, where do you sit in the middle? Because I think a lot of us that start these things are actually purists at heart. Like I said, we just want to drink lager beer with four ingredients that takes 6 to 8 weeks to make. And, but, you know, it's like, what is innovation? What is gimmick? right? And how do you walk that line?
Yeah.
And it's easier for breweries opening up now because you can open up, you know, like fucking Crazy Guys down by 33 acres, Electric Bicycle.
Yeah.
And just be like, fuck it. This is what we are. And this is who, and
I love their Ouija board, you know, tables.
Yeah. It's fucking wild. Right. I'm like, I feel like I'm having a seizure every time I walk in. Right. And, but like not in, and that's like no disrespect. Those guys were like, this is what we're about. And this is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And it may not be for everybody, but like, at least they own it.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, there's obviously opportunity for that. You look at Great Notion down in Portland, right? And like all the whack stuff that they have, right? Like I remember going down there and having a flight and be like, man, I can't imagine drinking a whole can of this blueberry pancake beer, but it's fucking crazy that it tastes like a blueberry pancake, right? And so it's just like, you know, you're half of you is like, no one's going to buy a 4-pack of this. How could they? And then the other half of you is like, I really respect this. How the fuck did they make this happen? Right? Like, it's a wild thing.
Well, that kind of reminds me of a good buddy who's, where is he at?
Tin House.
When he was still at Callister, he was making this beer that was like a bacon pancake beer. It was an imperial stout, but bacon and pancakes, and it was so friggin' good. And it shouldn't have been. Like, just looking at what was in it, it was like, this is too weird. I'm buying this can. And then I was like, why didn't I buy four?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I've got a friend from the UK, and he's mostly vegan, but he was coming over and we were going to do a beer trade. And I'm like, so I know you're mostly vegan, but this beer, I think you're going to love it, but it's got bacon in it. What do you think? And he's like, fuck it, let's do it. And he had it and he was like, this is epic. So, I mean, yeah, it was sometimes the gimmick can work, right? And I hope that Good Buddy can release some more beers now that he is the head brewer there. But
I think he did that. He did that PB&J stout again.
Yeah, I've heard he did that. It sounded like it was really good. One of my friends tried it.
Yeah. So Phil and Andy that own Tin House, they were the original people that were trying to open Sapperton Brewing in New West.
Oh, were they? I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. So I've known Phil and Andy for years. They were Mike. You'll appreciate this. They're founder club members of Steel
like
and Oak.
Me.
And which thank you for the support.
My pleasure.
And so they're just the most wonderful humans. They're so nice. And so, yeah, the Sapperton thing didn't work out, which is crazy because it was going to be over where another beer company is.
Yeah.
And for whatever reasons I don't know, it fell through. And then, you know, like 4 or 5 years later, they're like, we still want to do this. Like, and they opened Tin House in Port Coquitlam.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So that's, so kudos to them. Like, you talk about like people that just persevered and just like, you know, most people just give up and so like, and I always feel for, you know, people that opened up maybe like 3 or 4 months ago that went into this. It's different if you're not open, you know, yet, like Fraser Mills, you're like, okay, at least we know what's happening. So like, let's plan for that. And yeah, you haven't hired everybody yet. You're not like, but I mean, if you were like, you know, I think of like the Camp Brewings of the world, the Barnsides, all those guys, like you're like, You're only 4 or 5 months in, and then all of a sudden they throw this shit at you, and you gotta figure out what to do. Like,
well, there was a brewery I just saw. I forget what brewery it is now, but there was a brewery that literally opened today in BC. I think it was. I'm like, holy fuck!
Yeah, that's crazy, man.
Yeah.
Well, like Harold Street in Victoria, we're trying to figure that whole thing out right now, and how that's gonna look. I mean, that's a 178 person tasting room. And now it's not.
Well, it still is, just it's empty.
And so, so we're trying to figure out what that's going to...
I guess you have a lot of room for a mobile canning.
We do, yeah. We'll move all the tables out and just roll it in, man. That's what we're going to have to do, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's we're just going to have to make it by until 178 people want to congregate again. Well, or are allowed to.
Yeah, I think the allowed part is really what it is, because...
Yeah.
I think a lot of us are like, we're just itching, but we know we can't and we shouldn't.
Yeah.
But it's still like, oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure. Yeah. Well, and I think it's like, it's good that we're, you know, you know what? It and I don't know about you guys because you might be more social than me, but like, sorry, I've dropped a bunch of shit. I actually find that I've been a little more social than I was even before, just in a different way, right? Like,
You've got the time now to make that phone call or do the FaceTime thing, right? Yep. Like, I had a friend in Victoria a couple of weeks ago who put out a message on social media saying she was bored and would love to talk to somebody. The hell, I didn't have anything to do. I was sitting at home bored too, so I called her, right? And we had a nice chat.
Yeah, it's weird that it's taken this to do that, right? Like, my best friend lives in San Francisco. He's lived in San Francisco for 3 years. And we go and visit him once a year. Well, my wife and I will go down, or maybe twice a year sometimes. But this is the first time that we've actually FaceTimed each other. I'm like, why did it take this? Like, it doesn't even affect us and our relationship. Like, we could have done this before, right? And now we FaceTime each other on Saturday. My business partner, Jamie, who's in Vernon, actually, he's been in Vernon this whole time. He's got older parents, and his dad's got some heart issues. So he was lucky that he's got this place in Predator Ridge. So he moved everybody up there, including his parents, and they've just been like hunkering down there. And so, like, him and I and our friend Scott that lives in North Van, and my friend Daryl that lives in San Francisco, it's like a Saturday night kind of tradition now. We just get together and make fun of each other and drink beer, and it's great, right? Like, it's and I think there's something nice about, like, not having to feel the pressure about going out, right? Like, you know, it's this is nice, right?
Yeah.
There's no FOMO anymore.
No.
Yeah. Definitely.
No. No.
Well, might as well kind of sort of wrap this one up here. We've kind of covered a lot of the stuff that we can do to help support all local businesses, but breweries and stuff for COVID-19. And Jordan, why don't you just kind of shout out who you are again, your different podcasts and your breweries. And
yeah, you make me sound more important when you say it like that. That's not the case.
You're important. Come on now.
My name is Jordan Foss, and the most important thing I do is try and keep my wife happy while wrangling two kids. And then when I'm not doing that, when I'm not disappointing her, I run a brewery called Steel and Oak in New Westminster. And hopefully we'll have another brewery called Herald Street soon, opening in Victoria. And I have a podcast called Beer Life, which can be found on all those podcast things.
And what's the best way for people to find your beer right now?
So, thankfully, in quite a few places.
Yeah.
You can either come by our tasting room, which would be wonderful. I'd love to see you. And I'm actually down in the tasting room all the time now. So, please come by, which is on 3rd Ave in New Westminster. Or you can find us in probably your local cool LRS, that liquor retail store, not a government store, that sells craft beer. So, go there, and they'll probably have some new shit from us and some of the favorites. So yeah, hit them up or come by and visit me.
Awesome. And to kind of close it out, make sure if you have a favorite brewery in the province, go to their website, check it out, see how they're selling their beer right now. If it's out of the tasting room only, if it's only via beer sales online, if it's only through the liquor stores, find out how you can support them. Find out how you can support your local restaurant or whatever local industry that's still open right now. And a lot of businesses that are closed currently are still selling online, like little stores of any kind. If you email them, you might still be able to buy something from them. They just can't sell it at the store. So reach out and see what you can do to help people survive this crazy storm.
Cool. One more thing, Jordan, just before we kill it. I'm trying to finish off my bingo card.
Ooh, that's a bingo.
And did I say New West enough?
I got that one. I'm missing. I mean, how many listeners
Royal do
you
City.
Say your podcast has?
So, I mean, I know that because I see the Podient reports, but on the high end, do about 1,500. And then on the low end, and I won't tell you which guest is the lowest. on the low end, it's around 700 at this point in time.
Nice.
And I will say, Mr. Bingo himself does reach out. I actually tried to get him on the podcast. I reached out. Hendo and I both reached out. And we're like, hey, like, I'll voice and modulate you. We're pretty sure we know who you are anyway. So
like, I thought it was Hendo.
No. And like, we'll voice and modulate you. Like, I can do that. And have you on. Let's talk. And he's like, you know what? He's like, there will come a time when I'm ready to do this. And now's not the time. So, yeah. Right. Get your bingo card ready for sure. I mentioned my kids. I said my business partner, Jamie.
I got a lot. I just needed the last one.
That's the problem with getting older. That's the problem with having a smaller circle of things that I do now, because I work and then my kids. And so you just say the same shit over and over again, man.
Yeah, no doubt.
And when you run a social media account.
Yeah. Oh, man.
All That's right. Amazing. Well, thanks for tuning in. Join us next week. Cheers.
Cheers.
Thanks for tuning in to Pacific Beer Chat. We can be found on all podcast apps as well as at pacificbeerchat.com. If you find a podcast app we are missing on, let us know and we'll endeavor to fix that. Leave us a review on iTunes as it helps expose more people to the show. You can email us at feedback@pacificbeerchat.com. We can be found on all major social media apps at Pacific Beer Chat. Logo design was by Tim, the craft beer tourist. Audio editing done by Cam, known as Cam on Tap on Twitter. To play us out, here is a clip of the song Lothian by the band Conundrum, performed by Kevin Ems. Find them at conundrum-music.bandcamp.com. The song that plays us out is part of our intro.
Guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.